Well, hello and welcome to anyone who's watching. This is the first edition of our brand new show, The Millie and Afshin Show, with me, Millie, and
Me, Afshin
he's really excited to be here by the sounds of
Yes, really
it.
excited.
And this is several months in the making, and that was the best name we could come up with. The most original.
That's right. 6th of November, 2023.
Yes, and on this show, we are going to be talking to you about the events going on around the world in the upcoming week. There's a lot of uncertainty around the world, as we know, and we're
There's
here.
always uncertainty in fairness, Millie.
Yes, but we are here to give the people a bit of certainty and,
Okay, yeah, that's
to maybe put some things in their calendar and see what's going on. Maybe some things
yeah.
mainstream media aren't telling you, maybe some that they are, and they're not telling you the full story. We're here.
People could put it in
Here.
their calendar, personal calendar. It'd be kind of useful for
Exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Among, trips to the supermarket, doing the laundry, and then some events
Just
we'll
there.
mention now.
So,
Monday, let's go Monday, the 6th of November.
yeah, starting Monday the 6th. So we've got, first of all, today the UK is continuing its inquiry into its treatment of COVID-19.
Who cares about Britain? I know it, had the highest G7 per capita death toll officially. I
I
looked at
guess.
that.
Well, that's why there's an inquiry, I would assume.
I think given everyone is looking at Gaza and the fact that Britain and British companies are arming what's being called a genocide, are they really going to be caring about the hundreds of
Afshin.
thousands killed by COVID in Britain? It's
Well,
an
then.
interesting thing.
A lot of people were killed by COVID. I'm sure there aren't many countries around the world doing an inquiry, which may be a good idea to see how they might plan about the next time it happens. So, I think as a democratic country, it's not a bad thing that they're doing an inquiry and seeing
I
how
don't know whether it's a
they can better it
democratic country. I think that's debatable for a start.
in the
And
future.
secondly, have you noticed how biased the judge is in this inquiry? Keeps attacking Dominic Cummings, the advisor to UK PM, then UK PM Boris Johnson. Completely attacks him for his language because he happens to swear a lot. Even though he's making good points and happens to be making them perhaps.
Yeah, well, don't swear,
But the civil servants that are at this inquiry are emblematic of why Britain arguably isn't a democracy. All they seem to be doing in between this COVID reaction was organizing mental health days and worrying about whether staff had enough playtime and mindfulness and they needed these events to go to
But you surely think it's a
while Putin.
good thing that they're bothering.
Anyway, enough about Britain. Who cares about that country?
Well, I do, because it's my home country. And
Mine too. My home country too.
I'm sure
Treated me well.
the viewers might
Treated me
also
really well.
like it. Do let us know what you think. Okay, then. Well, the other thing happening today is the UN is releasing its yearly report on the state of food and agriculture. And we'll be holding a press conference to give that report just weeks after Israel is cutting its food off to the 2.2 million people in Gaza. And we've got food crises over a lot of the world.
We could put in the price of, say, well-known brands of butter, the increases in the past 12 months. It's
What a
insane
pint of
the
milk
amount
is going
things
for.
have gone up in price. I mean, while you, Millie, are probably looking at the price of caviar, which clearly went up after the war in Ukraine, for normal people, the price of bread, butter, water outside the areas of war sponsored by NATO countries has been. Well, has driven so many into malnutrition, rising malnutrition. I noticed the WHO is releasing that TB report. It's clear that the food crisis is very much in so-called developed nations.
Well, you're talking about butter as though that's something that, an ordinary working class person can buy nowadays. I mean, Lurpak's for the rich, isn't it?
And triglycerides, are they good anyway? That's another part of this. But as we remember from Britain, I mean, we've left, you know, quite a while ago. There were food banks then. So who knows the lengths of the food banks now? And the kinds of people who work in the media don't tend to go to food banks, journalists. So they're kind of away from that coal face of poverty, which perhaps explains why there's so little coverage of poverty in Britain, whilst they're giving away money to Israel right now in Britain and in European Union countries.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what the report says. The World Health Organization actually released its most updated report in July, which said that there are now 735 million people in the world who are facing hunger, and that is up from 122 million people since 2019. So in the last...
Wait, so it's gone up seven times since 2019?
Mm-hmm. Since
or six times?
Which might be a good reason as to why there's an inquiry into what happened during that time.
That's strange, because share prices in the big food retailers have been doing really well, and the big food companies. Lots of mergers and acquisitions talk. Wonder whether they're related, those two statistics.
Yeah, or you could argue it's the food crisis with lack of food now coming from Ukraine.
There's no lack of food, as we know. There's more. There's a surplus of food.
You don't think in countries like the UK, food prices are going up because they can't get hold of many foods that they would ordinarily be getting from Ukraine? You don't believe
I can understand why people wouldn't want to sell food to Britain because of the rights record, but I don't think... No, there's a plenty of food. There's more than enough food to feed all the mouths in the world. So it can't be a case of supply and demand.
No, but if there's people who are blocking access to getting it into certain countries, then that by default, it doesn't matter how much food there is in the world, it's not being distributed.
You know? No, I think there's enough access to as much food at lower prices, but some people are trying to make money out of it, which is, after all, the point of capitalism, which is to make money out of things, isn't it? And everyone needs food, so why not charge the most you can?
Okay. Well,
okay.
It'll be interesting to see that report anyway. Meanwhile, today, former US President Donald Trump, arguably one of the richest people in the world, certainly one of the most richest US presidents there had ever been, he is meant to be giving his testimony in his civil fraud case brought against Attorney General Letitia James, who, surprise, is a member of the Democrat Party.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, no conflict of interest there at all. This is the leading U.S. opposition leader being persecuted by U.S. authorities, thus affirming in the eyes of everyone in the rest of the world, I think, that the United States can't really be a democracy because it persecutes its leading successful opposition leaders.
Sure, but surely that depends if he's guilty or not, right? I mean, you know, you can say all you want that it's party politics, but if he's done wrong, then he should rightfully be punished for it.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Biden hasn't done anything wrong, has he? I mean, I think that here what we have is that even if Donald Trump gets done, he gets to run from prison, which does show the strength of U.S. democracy, because he can then pardon himself on winning, as forecasts show he will, the U.S. presidential election next year. So all it does, these cases, I mean, there are a whole number of other cases, I understand, they just all go to prove how broken the United States system is around the world. Not sure what the Democrats think they're doing to trash the United States' reputation all around the world. And of course, they make Donald Trump more popular.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, there was a poll yesterday that came out by the New York Times in a partnership with Siena College that said in a trial run, Trump is looking like he would win if there was an election now. But who really knows with these things? But
I think it looks, well, if you think of how they deliberately try and minimize his popularity in these polls, which are in any way, I think, probably not as neutral as they might be, given that they have vested interests who despise Donald Trump, clearly, rather like the election that he did win, it's all pointing to a victory for Donald Trump.
Well, I will say, interestingly, at the same time that he should be at this court, it's also the deadline for Republicans to qualify in their third presidential primary debate, which will also be on Wednesday. So
I think another aspect of this is that all the candidates except Cornel West all support the alleged Gaza genocide. So we have all political candidates, whether it be Donald Trump, Biden, and the rest of them, they all support what most of the world sees as genocide. So,
well, that's a whole nother issue.
But it's all now entwined with what's happening in Gaza, I think, because the US has lost its any way that it can talk about human rights in the eyes of so many leaders of the global South, let alone doubts, I suppose, amongst the vassal states of the United States in Western Europe.
Well, that all depends on what side you're on. And we can't forget that the United States is trying to push for humanitarian aid and for Israel to go easy on Gaza. So
is it really?
Well,
is
yeah.
it? I know it's supporting Zelensky, who arrives in Israel amidst all the fighting and all the bombing of the children of Gaza this week. So clearly there's a fight going on between them. But Blinken's been very clear that he does not want a ceasefire. And he also says erroneously that Israel has the right for self-defense, which they don't have the right to self-defense according to international humanitarian law, because they're an occupying power, and those who are occupied have the right to resist their occupation under international law. Not that international law, of course, is something that...
Well, you see, it's occupation, really, but it's the UN who did a General Assembly and agreed that that was going to be the case in the first place. So do you treat the UN as an institution where you go by the member states, whatever they say is what should be?
Well, no, I was thinking of the Treaty of Rome and the actual treaty signed by the United States. Why was Antony Blinken and the vassal states of Western Europe that take their orders from Washington saying Israel has the right to self-defense? Israel, under international law, regardless of the resolution voted by the UN General Assembly, doesn't have the right to have any self-defense as the occupying power, which is recognized by the United States as Israeli.
Where are you getting
Israeli?
This from, that they have no right to self-defense? What country has no right to
self-defense? UN Special Rapporteur? UN Special Rapporteur said in the past 72 hours or so, as an occupying power, you don't have the right to defend yourself against those who you're occupying. Clearly, because...
But it was the UN who got Israel to, if you want to call it, occupy the areas that are now Palestine in the first place. So who do you regard as the rightful voice in this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, if you agree with international law, which a lot of people don't agree with international law, clearly. I mean, Western Europe and the United States have been involved in countless abuses of international law in recent interventions around the world. But
as are many countries when it comes
No, I think it's to do with if a burglar comes in, or a robber comes into your house, do you ahead and kill him when he comes into your house? Is it just something to do with that?
If a robber comes into your house and tries to kill you, you have a right to self-defense.
Yeah. What if they take hostages? Anyway, the UN Special Rapporteur is very clear that Israel doesn't have the right to self-defense as an occupying power.
Okay.
But those who are occupied have the right to resist their occupation. Like, for instance, if I go into your house now and say, right, I'm occupying this bit, I don't have the right to self-defense if you say, get the hell out of my house. That kind of thing. So they're illegally occupying. It's like going into someone's house. And then the people whose house it is are going, what the hell are you doing? Trying to react to it. And then we're arguing for the right of the self-defense of the people that went into someone else's house. That doesn't make sense under international law.
I don't know. You could still argue, though, if you came into my house and then I started to attack you, you should be able to defend yourself and me trying to attack you, regardless of whether you've entered my house.
I don't. No, I can't go into your house illegally go into your house and then say, hey, I have the right to my self-defense in your house as you try and get me out of your house. I don't think that works.
Okay, but under the law, I'm not allowed to kill you.
Anyway, it's much worse than that, clearly, from the pictures. I mean, although people watching on Nature Nation media might not see him, the pictures coming out of the of Gaza are just horrendous.
It's awful. So I don't know whether it's awful. It's awful on both sides. And, you know, the moral...
Yeah, as John Pill just said, anyone who says both sides, it's obscene.
Why?
To even compare the idea that there are two sides.
Why can't
this
we
situation.
Just say violence is clearly in any scenario?
There's only one side in a situation where you illegally occupy another and then kill thousands and thousands of children. I mean, if it is apartheid, if Israel is an apartheid state, Nelson Mandela clearly said it was okay to bomb wimpy bars and kill civilians, which included children, and it was opposed by the Communist Party for opposing apartheid in the way that Mandela did choose to do so. But even Mandela said, I don't want to, as part of the ANC violent struggle against apartheid. Here we have an apartheid state that's deliberately killing children. I think everyone in the world realizes and says, you cannot deliberately target children, which is what...
They wouldn't say they're deliberately killing children.
If you drop a 200-ton bomb on a block of flats to target one member of Hamas... You're deliberately killing children, aren't you?
But then that's an argument over what you think is more important. And I'm not saying anything on either side. You know, I think it's awful.
No, it's a deliberate killing of children, though. That is a deliberate killing of children, isn't it?
But then what do you do if, from their perspective, these, you know, Hamas are terrorists who have slaughtered their people? They want to fight them as, you know, in 9/11, as in many wars.
Yeah, I mean, the United States did similar things in Fallujah and Mosul in Afghanistan, slaughtered loads of children. I mean, in that sense, Israel is
terrorists. You think are a threat to you and your people are then hiding amongst innocents. What do you do in that scenario?
Let's just take away
the history of it. Just as
If Hamas was hiding, in Israel, say there was a Hamas fighter hiding in a Israeli children's school or children's hospital. Would the Israelis bomb the children's hospital in Israel to get that Hamas fighter? No, they wouldn't. Why is that?
Apparently
because it's an apartheid state and it treats Israeli children different to Arab children. It's kind of clear.
Well, that's making an assumption, but I don't know.
Which assumption is it making?
You don't make the rules.
What do you mean? Clearly.
Maybe the world would be different.
There's
if
no assumption there. I think we need to put a Hamas fighter in an Israeli children's hospital, taking refuge, trying to hide there and see what the Israelis do.
Okay.
Well, clearly the Israelis won't bomb the children's hospital because bombing children's hospitals is never okay. If there are 10 Hamas fighters there, if there's a mass murderer there, if Hitler's there, you don't bomb a children's hospital because you kill all the children.
But if it's where the bad people are going, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe your intelligence services need to be a bit better.
I heard the other day, the whole idea of Hollywood bank robbery dramas and feature films and television series is the bank robber takes some hostages and then the police, and then there's a standoff, and that's the subject of a typical Hollywood bank robbery film. But in no way does the police force then go, oh, right, you've got hostages. Well, we'll blow up the bank and kill all the hostages. That just doesn't happen. They're going to have to rewrite all Hollywood scripts.
I don't know. Well, we'll have to come back to this another time. We're still on Monday. This all came about because we were talking about Donald Trump's civil case.
Let's run through it quickly. Okay. Run through it quickly.
Do you know what? Let's move to Tuesday, I think. I think everyone wants to know what's going to happen on Tuesday, tomorrow, the 7th of November. In light of all this, speaking on the UK, the Office for National Statistics will be publishing a life satisfaction report. Which will be telling us how happy...
Why do we believe anything that comes from the Office of National Statistics of a country that is arming genocide, alleged by UN officials?
Well, look,
I mean, you cannot accept anything that comes out of any official body in Britain now that, according to officials from the United Nations, like the one that resigned recently, saying this is a genocide. So you don't, you can't accept anything coming out of Britain.
Yeah, well, I think people would like to know, just how happy everyone is.
Yeah, but obviously they're not going to get to the truth
cost of
how
living
unhappy people are.
Crisis, poverty, all of this. I'm sure it's going to be a really positive report. I'm looking forward to seeing what
Well, in fairness, rich people are doing better than ever in Britain, and I suppose that all they have to mourn is the increasing provinciality of Britain as it removes itself from the world scene as a world power. But otherwise, clearly, when I look at pictures from the showbiz pages of British newspapers, they're doing pretty well, aren't they? What else is happening? What else is happening on Tuesday?
That's clear.
Ursula von der Leyen is meeting King Abdullah of Jordan. We're going to wonder whether he's just going to tell Ursula von der Leyen stop supporting the alleged genocide. And the Tokyo G7 Foreign Ministers Summit.
I don't know. I think the
what
world
do you think
doesn't
about
know how happy the UK is, if you ask me. But
I don't think anyone cares whatsoever about that at all. In fact, Anthony Blinken, he's in Tokyo. Scene of the famous firebombing of Tokyo, which killed more people than Hiroshima and Nagasaki when the Allied powers firebombed Tokyo, wasn't it? So it's kind of an apt place for G7 foreign ministers to meet when you think about it.
Well, I think a lot of people are just going to be in Asia on Tuesday. Prince of Wales, Prince William, is going to, I assume, fly by plane to Singapore.
You're not giving away his coordinates, are you? Because wasn't Prince William a helicopter pilot in the war in Afghanistan? I think you have to be very careful about giving away Prince William's travel plans. But one should say that his mum, who's obviously dead now, campaigned against landmines, against white phosphorus, cluster bombs, all the things currently being used by NATO nations, whether it be in Gaza or by Zelensky's troops in Ukraine. Do you think Prince William might mention the kinds of things his mum would have said? I don't think so.
Well, anyway, he's going to be given out the largest environmental prize.
By the way, Singapore a democracy? I don't think Singapore's a democracy. What's he doing, giving out environmental awards in a non-democracy? I'll tell you one thing, though. I know
What's
we have to rush on, but Tuesday
is... What's the to do with a democracy?
Exactly. I mean, the overall environment doesn't...
Surely
or a
the environment affects everyone regardless of whether you're living in a democracy or not. So I think that's...
Wasn't Hitler really keen on environmental ideas? He was a vegetarian.
Okay, we're not...
I don't see the point.
What are we even talking about?
Well,
let's
I
move
just
on
think
to
that
Wednesday.
Point in a great environment if you're living in prison and because of your beliefs or your ethnicity or anything else. I will say Tuesday is 67 years since the UN ordered Britain, Israel and France to get the hell out of the Suez Canal, which the three countries had invaded to try and destroy Arab power over the Suez Canal. Sorry, Wednesday.
Okay. Well, Wednesday, following on from the Environmental Award, State of Climate Action Annual Report is to be released by the Bezos Earth Fund, among others. This while the UN says the net zero target.
Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Jeff Bezos?
That's the
He's
very
talking thing. About climate change and the environment.
Yes, the Bezos.
How much packaging have you had in your Amazon? How much packaging do you get in your Amazon parcels?
Doesn't Amazon packaging come in cardboard?
Yeah.
That's good.
I think it's not cardboard from trees, is it? They probably say that they
Bezos is no longer.
Yeah, but Jeff Bezos has Jeff Bezos has shares in ETFs and some portfolios that include arms companies, aren't there? In this new climate thing he's going to talk about, he's not going to add up all the CO2 emissions from all the warships in the Eastern Mediterranean. And then Biden just sent the USS General Ford and Eisenhower to the Eastern Mediterranean with all those aeroplanes, warplanes. How much energy? They don't count that in, do they? Pentagon number.
I'll tell you what it's going
to
say.
What's the point of his figure? It's stupid, isn't it, really?
Well, look, there will
I thought you'd be talking about Marks and Spencer results. British supermarket, international branches, just had to apologize for setting fire to a Palestinian flag on their trailer.
I'm sorry, but...
Actually, no, it wasn't. It happened to look like a Palestinian flag.
It was Christmas hats in the colors of Christmas, green and red.
Right. Green, red, and white.
Green, red, and white. Mm-hmm.
Christmas. Yeah, I mean, anyway, I mean, you're not allowed to fly a Palestinian flag soon, perhaps, in Britain anyway, are you? And also, I've got to... But the Basel Agreement. So the point is, you take a loan from a bank, the bank can multiply that number that you've borrowed from the bank by three and put it in their assets column of the accounts of the bank. That is the kind of leveraging a bank is able to do. And Basel in Switzerland on Wednesday is the location where they're going to re-update this leverage amount so that banks can continue to leverage and create and conjure money out of thin air when you borrow 10 quid from a bank or $10 from a bank. So that's an important thing happening. I don't know whether you're going to Switzerland.
No, I'd love to go to Switzerland.
Really?
Expensive.
I'm not sure it's as expensive as some parts of the Middle East, but it is interesting. As you say, Switzerland does have very opaque banking regulation. So I don't know if you have an account there. And Switzerland stopped being neutral when it came to the war in Europe. So, yeah, interesting country. Thursday?
What have we got for Thursday? Well, that'll be when German Chancellor Olaf Scholz will be meeting Secretary General of NATO Jens Stoltenberg. Maybe to ask what on earth has gone wrong with NATO. Because they're doing so well in all of the wars they're fighting right now.
Yeah, well,
it's a job well done.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if they have shares in Lockheed Martin, British BAE Systems, Northrop Grumman, the war has gone very well off the dead bodies of the poor men and women of Ukraine. So I suppose they could be interested in. I noticed J.P. Morgan on that day's in court. Did you see that? J.P. Morgan has shares in these arms companies, doesn't it? It's acted for some of these arms companies. Involved, there's some $290 million lawsuit about how it allegedly benefited from Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking. But then who knows who else benefited from Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking? I don't know whether you've spoken to him lately.
No, we lost touch, actually. He just randomly stopped answering my messages.
Do you believe it was a suicide in jail?
I couldn't possibly comment. How could we know? I mean, I'm sure people like to say it's a conspiracy, but, you know, who knows?
And powerful friends. And I've got to ask you, are you going to be bidding for this Picasso painting? Because everywhere on social media, they've redone Guernica in the Palestinian colors to reflect the aerial bombardment of Gaza, a bit like the Spanish town of Guernica during the U.S. British-backed pro-Franco bombing of the Republican cause in Spain that led to World War II. Picasso in the news for that. But in Sotheby's, what's it? How much is it going to go? $120 million for Femme à la Montre, the painting. Are you going to buy it?
No, unfortunately, I don't have your presenter's salary, Afshin, so I don't know that I... quite have the funds for it at this point in time.
All right. Maybe you could buy some Tate and Lyle shares then. Tate and Lyle, connected to the history of slavery. They admit, and of course they own Tate galleries, don't they, full of art. I don't know whether people realize they're so associated with slavery. They have results, sugar results. I don't know whether they'll be good or bad. People don't eat much sugar these days, do they?
Well, certainly not when there's so many people going hungry around the world.
Yeah, but then poorer people eat the kind of, you know, mass-produced food that they add lots of sugar to make it more palatable, don't they? You can eat plastic with sugar in it, presumably. So maybe it is good for sugar. The more poverty, people eating cheaper food, which they add sugar to. Maybe. I mean, this is not investment advice, clearly.
Or are we suggesting that you put sugar on your plastic? Yeah, I think
that's no, good. Not at all.
Not I mean, that's all. Certainly not how we suggest solving world hunger, by just eating your enamel items you may have lying around to solve your hunger.
Will you be boycotting loads of these brands over the alleged genocide in Gaza? Because I noticed in the lists going around on social media, a lot of the brands are the ones that you favor.
I mean,
we're not going to name the companies, but quite a few of the restaurants associated with Israel, sometimes erroneously, because they're franchise models. For instance, McDonald's gave money to Gaza from its Qatari franchise model, but it's associated with the Israeli army. And I've noticed other restaurants. I know you quite like some of those fast food restaurants.
Yeah,
are you not going to?
We're just meeting for the first time.
Anyway, quickly, we've just got to go through Friday, Saturday, Sunday then.
Okay.
What did I, the Indian foreign minister, Indian defense minister meeting with US counterparts, Raytheon Austin and West exec Blinken, the arms contractors and Secretary of State in Delhi. I don't know what India is going to say to the United States because India backs Israel.
Yeah, I mean, they could also just be talking about other things.
There is only one story. As John Bell just said, Palestine is the issue because what
In
usually
media,
happens
I'm sure
to the people
things.
Of Palestine is then happening to everyone else, isn't it? What happened to the people of Palestine, weapons are tested out on them, and then you see them appearing tested out on the people of Iraq, on Syria, Afghanistan, Libya, in Latin America, in Africa. That's why it's so important. I mean, quite apart from the people of Gaza.
Yeah. Well, look, Friday, French President Emmanuel Macron will be speaking at his annual Paris Peace Forum. Well, I imagine the last one didn't go down very well because there isn't much peace going on right now.
Yeah, but the shares
don't
of,
feel like it's done a very good job.
Yeah, I mean, peace may not, but the French companies supplying the warplanes that are bombing children's hospitals, mosques, hospitals, churches, I mean, they're doing very well. So I suppose you can look at the peace conference Macron is hosting with, I understand it, Ghanaian President Nana Akufo-Addo. Ghana, once a spearhead of the global South non-aligned movement against Western hegemonic power. I don't know what that Ghanaian guy is going to say. And I don't know what the president of Microsoft, Brad Smith, who's he? I know that Windows keeps crashing on me, but I mean, what's he doing at the peace conference? Because they're obviously a Pentagon contractor. Microsoft is used, I understand, in British nuclear weapons submarines, on submarines. So how is he talking at a peace conference?
Okay, but there's also going to be environmentalist Jane Goodall, who we love. She'll be there as well. You know, what's her agenda?
I'm sure she will be speaking out for peace, and certainly for peace for all those gorillas that she made famous for being so human-like, and the animal world and the climate. I don't know what she'll say to Microsoft.
Yeah, well, what I quite love on the website is in a world dominated by a rising US-China rivalry, which apparently that's all anyone's talking about right now, it is as urgent as ever to find common ground on the governance of global commons and global public foods in domains like climate change, outer space, or critical minerals.
Critical minerals. So, well, Microsoft really, I mean, I suppose some of the business leaders there, and presumably Macron realizes when he's out of power, he's going to become a consultant at one of these arms companies or any company that needs desperately these rare earth metals that are so much part of the new AI powered future. Perhaps it's less about, it's not a peace conference, it's pieces of the earth that they're trying to carve up and exploit for profit.
Maybe critical minerals action are critical for peace. I thought everyone knew that.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
and outer
uranium
space
is
also critical
mineral.
for peace. I will tell you another thing on Friday that you may not have known, Afshin, that it just happens to be 248 years to the day, can you believe, since the US Marine Corps was founded at a tavern. Obviously, you know, the US Marine Corps doing such a great
job. What is it? What did they say? The Marine? Who, yeah? Something like that. I remember seeing David Petraeus, the disgraced former CIA boss, say something about that. The Marines. Yes, what a colorful history the US Marine Corps have, and their veterans have, because I noticed that more and more, according to anecdotal evidence, veterans of the US Marine Corps are begging in the streets of the United States for money to be able to eat. So interesting how they treat their veterans in the United States. 248 years. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I don't think black people were allowed to be in the US Marines 248 years ago. Hang on a minute. What would the Marines be doing 248 years ago to black people? Anyway, whatever it is, I hope that people will think about the veterans of the US Marines on that day, because clearly their life expectancies in the United States are markedly lower than your average American.
Well, also just happy birthday, you know. Hope they have a
birthday. It's Saturday Armistice Day.
Great celebration. Saturday is Armistice Day.
So that's the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. And that was to end the war, to end all wars at the end of the First World War. And there's never been another war.
The first war to end all wars. Which didn't work, though, did it? It was meant to be a ceasefire by that time. And then they carried on until the end of the day.
Well, no, well, clearly, if that, I mean, someone's going to start to wonder, was Armistice Day the problem? Every year since the end of the First World War, they've been commemorating Armistice Day and the, what were they called, lions led by donkeys, as they were, the officer class in Britain, treating the working classes of Britain like cannon fodder. Every year they celebrate this or commemorate this, there are more wars, NATO wars, that around the world rage and kill increasingly more and more civilians. A far fewer number in the First World War of civilians proportionately died. And if you look at the figure, they get exponentially greater, as we see in Gaza, where the vast majority of those killed by US, UK, EU nation
arms. NATO wouldn't say it's currently at war with anyone, so that's not quite true.
Not at war with anyone at all. Yeah. NATO, just this benign organization in the North Atlantic, so presumably mainly around Greenland and Newfoundland and west northwestern Ireland. That's their sphere of influence.
Yeah. But the point is, they wouldn't say they're at war. So to say that it's just creating more wars every time since is not quite accurate. What?
They could be lying, of course. I mean, they could be lying. But then, yeah, you have a point. Jens Stoltenberg is clearly just a puppet of the United States, because the United States is the biggest. And that's why Trump is saying there should be less money for NATO. They run NATO and tell Jens Stoltenberg what to do. So you're right. Is the US involved in a war at the moment, officially?
Well, though you can't.
Clearly, Israel could not bomb Gaza without the United States. And that's why the $14.3 billion package was passed in the House the other day. Without the United States' public money being given away to Netanyahu, well, all these children would have been alive today.
Yeah, but you could say the United States, but the United States isn't NATO. So
really?
Yeah.
Tell that to Donald Trump when he's president of the United States.
Okay, what, the one currently in like a lawsuit and is like heading to court, that one? Okay.
As opposed to, wait a minute, isn't Biden going to head to court over Hunter Biden and the laptop and all that stuff?
Well, don't think it really matters what someone not in power currently thinks about the state of the world. We'll ask him when he's back in power. I guess
you're talking about Joe Biden there. Clearly talking about Joe Biden. Is that it?
Well, that's Saturday. Singles Day in China, whilst Europe and the US talks about remembering wars.
What does that mean? What's Singles Day? Tennis?
Singles Day is just, it's like Valentine's Day, but the opposite.
There's a huge population crisis.
It's just, you know, online retailers making money to celebrate your singleness. Probably to discourage them from having children, you know.
It's to encourage children because there's a population crisis in China and they desperately need younger people to be born. Actually, all people who are born are younger. But they desperately need new people in the population or massive immigration. Otherwise, China may not be as successful or be as successful for long, as long as even the United States as it emerges as the greatest power on earth.
Then maybe
I think that's what Singles Day is about.
Should question why they're celebrating Singles Day. Not that, of course, you can have children and still be single. So we're not saying anything about that.
That's true. That's true.
You know,
Very woke. How very woke of you. Yes, exactly.
Thank you. I mean, not thank you. I don't believe. You know,
why is that?
I don't believe in woke. I don't not believe in woke. I
don't really know what it means, but clearly the week will be dominated by the alleged genocide in Gaza, backed by Western Europe and the United States. That's what the whole world is looking at in despair.
All of these things going on at the same time.
Well, let's just hope that by that day it's stopped. By the day, it's not 2 million dead.
By Sunday. We have got to mention Sunday, where Lloyd Austin is going to be visiting South Korea. South Korea, which is planning to launch its first military spy operation at the end of the month to keep its eye on North Korea. So, don't know what that visit's all about. That'll be one to look out for.
Yeah, I don't know why South Korea is playing into these hands, because clearly North Korea are now increasingly friendly with China, with Russia, and the global south, and Iran. Why is Raytheon executive Lloyd Austin, head of the Pentagon, what's he doing there? And the important thing to remember about North Korea is it can reputedly launch 4 warheads at the same time at the continental United States, for which the United States has no protection. And that's something that's been hidden from the American public, and only Donald Trump saw that as a huge secret disaster waiting to happen for the United States, which is, of course, why he rushed after winning power in the United States to North Korea to meet, or around the area to meet Kim Jong-un, to desperately seek some kind of peace treaty with North Korea. But clearly Lloyd Austin sees it as a chance for money-making to defend South Korea from the North, when, as we know, perhaps North Korea could destroy, say, Los Angeles in 33 minutes.
Well, on that note, I think we better leave it there because we're out of time. So that was me, Millie.
And me, Afshin, not wanting to be replaced by Millie on television soon.
I don't think you have any chance of that, so I wouldn't worry. But if you have enjoyed this show, do let us know. Do like, comment, follow, whatever media that you're watching or listening to this on, and let us know what you think. Let us know what you think of the show.
Carrier pigeon. That's a good one.
Carrier pigeon.
Well, not just social media. You know, everyone has podcasts and things where they use Twitter and X and all these other ones. Carrier pigeon.
You mean X? There is no Twitter.
Smoke signal. We'll use anything. Just you can contact us.
Yeah, just anything.
All the details are here.
Yeah. And we will see you next Monday. Bye for now.
See you next Monday.